5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Might have a Gabe Landeskog, Will Barton related question tomorrow. Just bear with me. We'll come up with something. The Avalanche will omit left wing and team captain Gabe Landeskog from its expansion draft protective list when it's released Sunday morning, according to a league source. So yesterday morning. The move will give the Seattle Kraken, just awesome, love that name, into it, love the logo, it's all cool, exclusive rights to recruit the pending unrestricted free agent long before free agency opens July 28th. So expansion teams, at least in the NHL, they get first crack at it. Okay. Thank you for that, Colfax. Yes. They will. They do. They get the first shot at some of these restricted or unrestricted free agents. Landeskog will not be one that they're going to protect. So it's interesting. This, though, gives the Avs a better chance to protect another forward at this point. So the way this works out, and I'll give you the expansion list. All potential free agents left unprotected for the expansion draft can exclusively interview and potentially sign. So, again, it's not a draft. It's not like Seattle can just say, I choose you. They still have to convince free agents to sign a contract with the Kraken between Sunday morning and Wednesday night's expansion draft. If Seattle and Landeskog agree to a deal before the draft, Landeskog would count as the Kraken's one selection from the Avalanche. Well, Landeskog could go there and kind of be the face, couldn't he? 28 years old. Looking for a long-term deal, probably according to the Denver Post, with an annual cap hit of more than $7 million, and $49 million over 7 years is probably what he wants. The Avs, according to the Post, are floating around $30 million over 5 years. So you do the math, at least at that point. If Seattle doesn't choose Landeskog in Wednesday's expansion draft, the parties can return to the negotiation table when free agency opens the following Wednesday. Saturday marked the NHL's trade freeze ahead of the expansion draft, so Landeskog's rights can't be sold during that time if the Avalanche attempt to re-sign Landeskog in the ensuing week. It might be too late for the player's liking. Here's what he had to say. I can't help but be honest with you that I'm a little bit disappointed that it's gotten this far. And it's had to come to this point. He told The Athletic, quote, we'll see what happens. I'm still hopeful that we can agree on something and come to terms. But if it was up to me, I would have liked to be done 8 months ago, 10 months ago. So what will happen going forward? Speaking of forward, they have other forwards that they want to protect. So that maybe they see more of the long game there at the end of the day. So, yeah, there you go. Gabe Landeskog. At this stage, he's kind of out there floating around, and we'll see what happens to him. Similar, I guess, not the same, because we got an expansion draft here, just regular free agency with Will Barton. Will Barton did decline his option, and now he's a free agent. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is, do you want Will Barton back in Denver? And Colfax, on the surface, like, you know, if I'm answering quickly, I feel like, yeah, especially because Jamal is out for a good chunk of the season and you need more experienced players. And Will Barton is I always like to give a grade. You know, Nikola Jokic is an A. Michael Porter Jr. is a C. Jamal Murray's a B. B plus. What's Will Barton? And again, Porter is a C, but has a lot of potential. A lot of potential to be a B plus or an A. Is Will Barton a C? And if the answer is yeah, then you're going to be paying quite a bit for a C, knowing that you're going to have Aaron Gordon's contract come up at the end of next season, if that's someone you want to stick with. Knowing that you're going to have Facu Campazzo's contract come up at the end of next season, if that's someone you want to stick with. And knowing that Michael Porter Jr. Chris told us he's probably going to be in the mid-20s. You can't afford four monster contracts. Now, would Will Barton come in at $15 million for 2 years? Okay, you wouldn't say that's a monster contract. You'd say that's a pretty nice contract, but not a monster one. You could make it work, but you're also going to sacrifice in other areas. Your bench won't be as deep. Is Will Barton worth that, knowing that you have all these big decisions coming up? So, That one's going to be interesting going forward. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Here is the submitted expansion draft projected list Saturday from the Avs. It was released to the public yesterday. The Seattle Kraken, of course, the NHL's 32nd team, will choose one unprotected Avalanche player in Wednesday's expansion draft. Protected so far is Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, Kadri, O'Connor, Tyson Yost, a couple of big names there that they wanted to make sure their defensemen, Makar, Girard, there's a good list there. I mean, again, you got to leave one guy off, and you look at this list, and they were favored to win the Cup. So, Colfax, when you're favored to win the Cup, and you're maybe the odds-on favorite to win next year, then you got a lot of really good players that you want to protect. So even though Landeskog's a huge name and a leader of this team, the Avs have a lot of guys that they are pretty pleased with at this point. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Go answer our poll question again, going back and forth between these two moves, because they're both similar in the way that, hey, they mean a lot to the organizations, Will Barton and Gabe Landeskog, but are they nearly as important as other guys on this list? Would you like to see Will Barton back with the Nuggets? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Power to Play Sports, poll question of the day. The NFL's single-season sack king. It's now a guy from Colorado State, unofficially. I'll explain that later. Al Baker. Kevin Lytle put this piece together in the Fort Collins Coloradoan last week. All hail the new NFL sack king, 64-year-old. Now, Kevin, I love you, but the sack king to me is the guy that that owns the record for the most sacks of all time, correct? Now, this record is not the most sacks of all time. It's the most sacks in one season. Here's what's impressive, though. He did it in his rookie season. Michael Strahan's sack record was 22.5. He did that back in 2001. It's the official record for sacks in a season. Pro Football Reference, you asked me this question, Colfax. Because sacks were not officially taken as a stat until 1982. Okay, which is interesting. You know, okay, they didn't really deem that as a worthy stat until 1982. Well, Pro Football Reference went through the painstaking process of reviewing film dating back to 1960. So did they review not every defensive player, but every player that you could have said maybe had a good chunk of sacks in a regular season to see where they stacked up? Their review led them to Baker, who was on the defensive line at Colorado State from 1974 to 1977. They credit him with 23 sacks in his rookie season, so half more than what Strahan had. 1978 was his rookie season. He was with the Detroit Lions. So he's the NFL's unofficial single-season sack record. He said, for some reason, and I'm not kidding you, without any prompting, tears just started running down my eyes. You know, somebody tells you you're a sack leader, and what you do, you start crying. And I guess it's because none of us really sat around like some players, and we want this, and we want that. We hadn't thought about it for at least, I'm not kidding you, 20 years. He was the AP Rookie of the Year that season as well. Baker now unofficially has 131 career sacks in 13 seasons with the Lions, Cardinals, Browns, and Vikings. He made three Pro Bowls and had an All-Pro selection. So when you go to look up NFL sack leaders, at least according to Pro Football Reference, which we all use a lot to go over stats, you do have a box to the left that says unofficial leaders, and a box to the right that says official leaders. So, what does that change? Well, a few things. Number three all time is Deacon Jones, or Kevin Greeny of the official records, but in number three on the unofficial records, they have Deacon Jones. What are your thoughts on this, Colfax? Is this just something where they just said, hey, we didn't take stats on it? Bummer. That's the way it goes. 1982 on is where we're judging. Or do you like the fact that the good folks at Pro Football Reference went through the film and documented this?
Well, both. I think it's awesome that they went through and documented this because it's a fun conversation we can have on air.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, CSU gets some accolades. That's cool. But, yeah, keeping it as an official stat since 1982, in a way, could change the way the game was played.
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to that, you weren't thinking about it.
Yeah.
So now you're out there hunting these sacks, and it could essentially change the way the game is played.
Yeah. Well, I just think, I guess with me, Pro Football Reference is big enough where it's like, either make it the official one, or let's just not mess with it.
Yeah.
Where is this going to be recognized? Is this going to be recognized by the NFL Hall of Fame? As of right now, no.
No.
Because it's unofficial. So I do think that it's weird to me to look over and see unofficial. And then this is the overall record. The record, again, Michael Strahan is the official record owner of an individual sack season with 22.5. Whereas, Al Baker's going to be the guy unofficially holding the record. It's cool for CSU, but is it if it's correct, then go back and change it. But you're right. Guys that knew that Strahan, for example, knew he needed, I think he only needed like a sack and a half or something to break it. If he would have known that he needed more than that, and Al Baker's list was at 23, then does he go out even a little bit more? Does he play one more year? You're right. That does. Guys that are record chasers, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love record chasers. If you're close to it, go for it. Would that have changed a lot of guys on this list? Would they have gone a little bit harder? And again, some of the critics are, if that's what it takes to go hard. Well, some of these guys might be like in their mid-30s, and they know they only got 1 year left. Maybe it motivates them to go one more year to try to get 4 sacks in a season. So, it does change things because think about the players that are the official leaders. Terrell Suggs, for example, who still plays. He is listed in the official leaders of sacks in the top 10. He is number 8. But because they did this unofficial thing, he is now knocked out of the top 10. He's sitting at 12. DeMarcus Ware was in the top 10, former Bronco. He is now he is now 13th. So he was 9th. He was, he was 1 sack behind Jason Taylor to move up to 7th. Well, now he is 13th. And obviously, out of the NFL, that's only going to drop. So that's kind of the bummer of it. We're always talking about honoring the history of the game. Okay, great. We should. But because you didn't track this, is that these players' fault that are playing, since 1982, knowing that it's an official stat? I mean, did we always used to take stats for pass breakups, knockdowns, and that kind of thing? I'm more or less just, now again, I love the fact that it's cool for CSU. It's neat. It's a cool study. Let it stay this way. But I don't think that the Hall of Fame or the NFL or us in a casual conversation at the bar should let the unofficial list be anything close to the official list.
I agree.
So DeMarcus Ware is still top 10 all time in sacks.
So I guess I'd like to know, what did they even call it a sack before they kept track of it?
Just
what
a
was
tackle,
it called? Just
I
a
guess.
Tackle?
Yeah, they didn't really they didn't really track it. They said sacks prior to 1982 are not official. I think they just called it a tackle.
A tackle.
Yeah, and that's
interesting.
They didn't really think. I mean, it is football. This is crazy, Tackling a quarterback is a completely different stat. If you attack a running back behind the line of scrimmage, it's a tackle for loss, but it's not like this significant thing like a sack. Yes, right. if you say, so-and-so leads the league in tackles for loss, yes, don't get me wrong, that's a good stat. But sack compared to tackle for loss, that's the big stat. So it is weird in the NFL that, it's just another strange rule that they decided one day, we want to register stats for when they tackle the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage.
And it makes sense when you think about it, because that is clearly such an impactful moment on the game as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can destroy the entire momentum of a game with a single sack.
Yeah, you can cause fumbles, rattle the quarterback.
Exactly. I mean,
and then they start. That's when they started registering. How long ago was it when they started registering quarterback hits? Like, that's a big thing now. You know, Dixon loves to complain about the lack of sacks from Von Miller and such, but you also got to look at his hurries, his hits, double teams. Like, those are stats that we don't talk about that much either. I just more or less am like, hey, that's a bummer we didn't register, but we do now. It's the way it is.
Yeah.
But it's a cool historical thing to go back and determine what would it have been if they would have registered. But I don't think the NFL can come out and say, they can come out and change. Well, you know what? We are going to honor that now. Because then that opens up so many different rule changes throughout the way we accept and view stats.
Yeah, so, maybe, I don't know, maybe you could do some ceremony for him. I don't know if you wanted to. I don't know.
I guess he has it now. Is the Hall of Fame honoring that? That's what I want to know. Nothing in the Colorado one was in about the as far as the NFL honoring him. So you won't find his name on CSU's sack leaders because the NCAA didn't begin counting the stat officially until 2000. And CSU sack totals prior to that are accumulated through a variety of unofficial records. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be like that.
Yeah,
just a cool thing for CSU, but it's not going to be official. So
what are you going to do?
Yeah, there you go. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Do want to shout out to Tilted Barrel in Loveland. You got to stop by, whatever. Maybe you don't feel like going out. Maybe you want to order in. They still do the DoorDash, the Grubhub. They'll deliver to you if you want to get delivery. 970-619-8950 for pickup or Tilted Barrel delivery. They got happy hour from 2 to 6 p.m. 2 to 6, that's a pretty long happy hour. You know, most of them are like 3 to 6, 4 to 6. This is 2 to 6 o'clock, man. It's a nice happy hour. Features half-price appetizers and $5 well, wine, or draft drinks. Stop by the Tilted Barrel. Tell them we sent you from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. 22 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's look at what the Packers' plan might be with or without Aaron Rodgers.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
I've been telling you a little bit more about Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Good to have them back on the program. They have a wonderful partnership with the Eagles, the Colorado Eagles, and Colorado State, covering club sports, high schools, and the high schools on the Eagles side, too, the Junior Eagles. OCR Sports Medicine Physicians have been the official orthopedic group for the Eagles since 2003, providing team and game coverage at every home game. And they couldn't be more proud to be a part of that great organization. Also, CSU, 50-plus year-long relationship between Colorado State and Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They've been treating CSU athletes since 1969. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. For more information about how they can help you out, orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Will Aaron Rodgers report? We are 8 days away from training camp, and the big question is, will Rodgers be there on July 27th? If he's not, we open that door even wider for a trade or for, you know, him to sit out, whatever. I've said from the beginning, it's not happening. Rodgers will not be a Bronco. He will either play for the Packers or he sits out an entire year and then we work it out after that. According to CBSSports.com, they were doing some interviews with guys. One Packer at this point thinks he will be at camp. Mercedes Lewis, tight end Mercedes Lewis, who's played alongside Rodgers for the past three seasons, says, "I think so." He told TMZ when asked if Rodgers will show up. He said, "I hope so. I hope to see my guy there." Now, here's another thing. Aaron Rodgers, good friends with former Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk. They went on a vacation to Montana, the two of them, Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk has since that vacation been pretty adamant that he believes Rodgers will play for the Packers in 2021. I mean, if he now is that now if you really want to put on the glasses here, Colfax, because I know you want me to, because you want to go there. You want Rodgers in town. You're going to be front row, getting autographs, doing all that stuff as soon as he gets to town.
You won't be?
I will not be. I'll be standing back there going,
I was wrong.
Conspiracy. So you want me to put those glasses on. Now, there could be a chance that A.J. Hawk, who's a great friend of Rodgers, is just saying stuff like that so that it drives up the price, that Rodgers continues to be, or that he'll be there and that teams look around and go, okay, well, he's going to camp. You know, we're going to see what happens. It could be all just smoke screens that we're throwing out there to confuse everybody. But July 27th? Maybe that'll be a poll question, too. Will Aaron Rodgers be at training camp for the Packers on July 27th? I say yeah.
Yeah, I think he will be. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Doesn't mean he won't get traded.
Yep.
Doesn't mean he gets there and he's just kind of like whatever, but I think he's going to be there, and I think they're going to figure, I don't know what they figure out long term, but think about this, Colfax. I mean, everybody wants to say, well, the Broncos would make sense. You got these young receivers. The Packers were in the NFC Championship last year. They were one game away from going to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's not like if you're Rodgers and you want to win Super Bowls, what would lead you to think you couldn't run it back and at least get another shot? And I'm sorry, as much as I do think the Broncos will be improved, I do really believe that Aaron Rodgers does make the Broncos a contender. He's already a contender. They were top four in the NFL last year. They made it to the NFC Championship. Not a lot of huge changes for them either. So if you're Rodgers and you're wanting to win a title, you look over at the Broncos, there's a lot of, yeah, we think Cortland Sutton's going to be back healthy. We think Jerry Jeudy's going to get it right and not have the drops issues. We think the offensive line will continue to be pretty good, that's the one I really feel good about. We think the running game will be okay. We think the defense will be elite. Yeah, we do think those things. But there are still a lot of big question marks surrounding the Broncos. Surrounding a team that if you're Rodgers and you say, hey, I got 2 to 3 years left, there's my window, I'm going to go try to win a Super Bowl. Well, Von Miller is a free agent after this year. Is he the biggest name on the Broncos roster? Yeah. And again, there's no guarantee that he's going to come out and just pick right off where he left off. That's another discussion that I want to have, you know, looking at this linebacking core for Denver. But, you know, yeah, you like the safeties. You like Justin Simmons. You like the corners. Might work out. But if you're Rodgers, and it is about money, and you don't know if you're going to get it, do you cool this thing back off and show up to training camp on Monday or Tuesday, and this whole thing finally settles back down? I don't see it happening. Texter, not sure what Vaughn, oh, it's Dixon. Not sure Vaughn knows what a sack is anymore. Brady, the problem with the Rodgers thing is that it's too late. Green Bay would want a bunch of high draft picks for him, not picks in the 20s, so it's too late. They will wait till next year and trade him to a team with a high draft pick. Yeah, when Rodgers didn't opt out last week, it really made me feel like this is not, like he's going to be there. I think he's going to play. I kind of teeter back and forth between he's not going to play to he's going to play for the Packers. That's it. Let's see. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. 970-478-1301. Just a lot of comments on the whole Will Barton thing on via social media. Not a lot of love for Will Barton. Wow. Not a lot of people want Will Barton back in Denver. This is the year that I kind of would be like, maybe you should want him back because you don't know what the future of Jamal Murray is. And at least Barton is a formidable player. But let's look at the poll. 77% of the Hooligans say no. Wow. I'm just kind of shocked by that. 77% say no. And at least none of you guys are hitting me with the, hey, if the price is right. Well, yeah. No, I only want him back if the price is wrong. Because the only way I'm taking him is if the price is wrong. Somehow we'll make that work. Yeah, you're still hard. You still holding that hope, or is as every day passes with Aaron Rodgers, are you? Is it dwindling?
Not really. And I think there's no way in hell he doesn't. He doesn't play.
You think
he's definitely
sitting
playing.
Out is going to be hurt.
Yeah, he's definitely playing.
I think he
somewhere.
Plays.
There's no way he's not playing. So I think that's off the table. It's just a question of where.
Well, yeah, and even if he plays with Green Bay this year, that doesn't mean he's not a Bronco next year.
Right.
I feel better about that prospect than this year. But if you're Green Bay, you're thinking, I want to desperately run it back one more year because we were close. And let's run it back. You're the MVP. Stay with us this year. We'll sign a damn contract if you want that says, give us this year and we'll move you if that's still what you want. And we'll do our damnedest to find the right team. Now, again, what kind of contract would that be? Is that even a real thing? Should Aaron Rodgers trust the Packers to honor that? But if you're Packers ownership management, aren't you like, man, I got to do what it takes to run this thing back? Because we were there.
Definitely.
You were, I mean, who most had the Packers pick to beat Tampa Bay? You know,
definitely.
It was just, this defense caught fire and Tom Brady was playing out of his mind. Well, not out of his mind, but he was playing pretty damn good for the injury that might get the Bucs into some trouble.
Let's take this back. Didn't a lot of these trade rumors kind of Aaron Rodgers' animosity with the team start with some terrible play calls during that game?
Yeah, was the late one. Was they should have went for it. I don't. What was that? What the hell was the score?
Exactly.
They chose to kick a field goal,
yeah.
And they should have went for it. And
I feel like that was just like the breakdown because they sucked away all their chances to win the game with that play call.
And then
losing that game, and then everything after that was kind of where all this started, in my memory. I mean, there was always some friction, I think, between Rodgers and the team and coaching, but then that was the point where this all started that we're talking about now.
Yeah, it feels like that was the frustration. That was even stemming back from the draft and the firing of the quarterback's coach, too.
Right.
So
that, and then compounded with this terrible play calling. It's just really, does Rodgers want to go back to that?
Yeah, it was the Packers were down 31-23, fourth down and goal, 2:22 left to go in the fourth. They kicked the field goal instead of trying for the touchdown. And Rodgers thought that they were going to go for it.
That was silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously the score was 31-26.
Yes.
Tampa Bay goes on to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's frustrating, and I've talked to you about this before, too. If you're a good team and you make it that far and you're this close, that's sometimes harder to recover from than if you just get blown out. Because if you get blown out, you can go, yeah, nothing worked, we were awful, that's never going to happen again. If you lose by a few, then you go, man, we gave it our all and just couldn't do it. That's tough to come back from.
And so then running it back, you know.
That's definitely
is that their peak?
Who knows? I mean, Tampa Bay, are they getting... The question won't be... Are they going to be worse than they were last year? Defensively, I think they're going to be just as good. The question is... we keep asking this question. When does Tom Brady wear down? When does Tom Brady become an average quarterback? He was still... Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now? It's still Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson's right up there. So, I mean, even Brady's worst games, he's still one of the best in the league. And he played with an injury, apparently, the whole time. He spoke to the media earlier in June. He revealed something that he probably shouldn't have revealed. He played the 2020 season and led the Bucs to a Super Bowl with an injured knee. He had a knee procedure done in the offseason after winning the Super Bowl. He had a torn MCL all year. He had a torn MCL, and he won the damn Super Bowl. This has brought up the question as well about the Bucs. Did the Bucs violate a league rule by not disclosing the injury? Here's my thoughts. Now, again, maybe there's reasons to this. They want to say, hey, are you doing something to help your injury along? If you can play, why should we report that you were hurt?
Yeah.
So that a defensive lineman can trigger up on that knee and go after it. Oh, they never do that. Yeah, because Bounty Gate wasn't a real thing. If you got it, they all test. So I guess the one thing is, well, they want to see if he's on the, if he has a torn MCL and he's able to play, we want to see if he was doing something else to his body to make him, work. Well, because what would be the reason to list an injury of a player if he can play? If they were like all in agreement, Tom Brady and the Bucs were like, yeah, no, I'm playing. Okay, you're playing. Good. Fine. We're good. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but I guess if that's a league rule, then you go back to the whole Olympic story, right? With the marijuana thing. They'd probably get a fine or something, but it's... Dude, Tom Brady's always got something, man. There's always something coming out.
Well, are they just going to go off his word, or are they going to have to go back and prove that he was injured the entire season? Like, how are they going to even find that out?
They'd have to just go off of his word.
So that would be silly.
He did not offer himself for a postseason physical after the 2019 season, his last season with the Patriots. Did the Bucs even know about the injury? That's the other thing. And maybe they didn't.
Are they just going to fine him now for not disclosing his own injury?
I don't think what the hell? I don't know. I don't think that the Bucs would have any kind of, I don't see this thing going any further. But the Steelers had a case like this with Ben Roethlisberger. He sat out of practice ahead of a game with an elbow injury. The team listed it as a veteran day off instead. And after Roethlisberger fully injured the elbow in the following game, backup Mason Rudolph spilled the beans about the starter's injury. Both cases, the teams were fined, but no suspensions or draft capital occurred. So, yeah, they might get fined, but that one's even worse. Because you're saying he's out for something else, so you're clearly, I don't know, maybe not. I just think if you're able to play, I don't need to list the injury.
Yeah, if you can win a Super Bowl, I don't think injury counts.
I think you're okay. Yeah, I'm not listing that injury. That's fine. No.
Are you hurt or are you injured?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need, and apparently he was injured. Like, apparently he was injured, right? But that just, it's supposed to be like an epic story of, oh my gosh, this mid-40-year-old Tom Brady did it with that knee issue. And then now the negative comes out of, well, the end of, I don't think anything comes of it. I don't think they'll do anything. Because they didn't list him for another reason as being out. Like, yeah. Pittsburgh flat out lied. Tampa Bay just didn't tell the truth. There is a difference.
There's a difference.
41 minutes after the hour, Eastside Chris, hey, Chief Dixon, maybe Miller can't afford the new sack law? What's the new sack law? 41 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Eastside Chris says, hey, I had a class at CSU with Bubba, or Al, as we were just talking about, with the new unofficial sack record for Al Baker. And he went on to say, pretty cool guy. Nicest guy. He never carried books. The ladies with him took care of that. Pretty mean defense. Also had the Bell Brothers. That's cool. That's pretty cool. Cool story. I like to hear stories about our listeners that go to school with some of these players, and keep, you know, we're connecting more with these players too, Colfax. We're kind of working on some ideas with a lot of these guys, and stay tuned. All I'm going to say is his name rhymes with Schmelishin Schmubbard. Ellison Hubbard, working on an idea, and just we may be hearing from him weekly. It'll be really cool. So we're excited about that. Great guy, man. He was excellent, wasn't he?
Fantastic.
Was that last Tuesday?
Yes.
He sat in with us for a full hour. First time we've ever had a student athlete sit in for the show for more than a 15-minute segment.
Yep.
But Ellison wants to get in that. That's like what he wants to do, is radio and broadcast and all that stuff. So I suppose if there's a guy to do it and sit in with you and do it, it would be that guy.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We got some cool things in the cooker for you that we're working on. So, do want to throw out our game beer of the week, thanks to On the Rocks Liquor. This one is from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. Getting tiki with it, Colfax.
Mm.
Pina Colada wheat beer. Hmm. Perfect for summer, I guess, huh? Pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-through. Open until midnight. Getting tiki with it. That's at On the Rocks Liquor, hooking it up with local breweries. They've been doing this for so many years. They're celebrating their 10th year, so they've been doing it for 10 years. That was their goal. We want to open a liquor store, but we want to make it a place where it's a hub for these local breweries. I think they were one of the early liquor stores to get behind this, and a lot of them do it now. But, you know, On the Rocks, they push hard for that, and if they don't have it, they're going to make sure they find it. All right, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Would you like to see Will Barton back with the Nuggets? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. We'll get to closing thoughts and wrap this bad boy up. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. I got a huge announcement to make here, Colfax, starting in about an hour. Pick Central's coming up. I love that show. And that show is going to really heat up once we get into football season, too. So you're going to want to stay there. Pick Central starts at 2 o'clock now. At 3 o'clock, we're bringing the big dog in. We're bringing the radio guns in. Brian Gary is coming in. It's going to be the good afternoon guy. Brian is a legend when it comes to radio. And, I'm pumped to listen to this guy coming up at 3 o'clock. So you guys, if you don't know the name, which I'd be shocked if you don't, tune in. It's going to be full of entertainment, a lot of great segments, a lot of fun segments. I mean, it's going to be what radio is all about. We like to talk sports and have a blast here. This program's going to be a little bit of everything. You know, I can't wait till we get to football season, too. A little birdie tells me he's a Vikings fan. So we got two Vikings fans on the air here. I don't know what's going on. But I like unique perspectives. I certainly do. And then Brian's going to give us that. So Brian's program, The Good Afternoon Guy, starting up at 3 o'clock today. We got a lot of local for you throughout the day. No Rockies tonight. We'll get back to a Rockies schedule later on this week. But pumped to see what Brian can do with that show. So tune in. And again, folks, ask if you don't. You got us on 1310 KFKA. You can check us out at 1310kfka.com. You can listen live from anywhere. We also have our podcasts available after all of our local programs and game broadcasts. So be sure to tune in a little bit later. Well, keep it here. You're already tuned in, right? just keep it here on 1310 KFK. More news, too, coming. We got a lot of exciting news still in the works for you. We made the announcement, of course, that Jerry Schimmel would be the voice of the UNC Bears, so we're extremely excited about that. What better way to bring Schimmel in than the Ed McCaffrey year? So we've got that cooking for you. More to pay attention to, believe it or not, down the road. All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing thoughts. Will Barton, do I want him back? If the price is right. No. I don't think so. Sounds like the Nuggets are going to try to make a deal with him, though. They're going to try to get a deal done. They have this love affair with him. They do. They love each other, and I get it. But you got a lot of big-time contracts coming up. And I don't think Will Barton's going to fit much past one more year. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.